Wake up to the roosters, eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning. Get up and go to that 9 to 5. Get up and get them dollar signs. Get up and go through overtime. Get up and put that overdrive.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Listen, welcome to season 2 of Great Mornings Podcast, and I'm super excited about this season. This season, we're spending our time talking to men about relationships, all types of relationships, romantically, platonically, relationships with work, relationships with family. We're talking about relationships, but from the male perspective this season. So I want all of you to make sure you give us a dope review. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and make sure you get excited about what's about to take place on this episode today. I'm excited to introduce this guy. I've watched him from afar and finally got an opportunity to see him face to face right now and join in with him on this podcast for this episode today. I want to introduce to you Kareem Grimes. This brother has been acting for years. I just realized last night that he is in one of my favorite movies of all time, Boys in the Hood. And he's also well known right now for his role on All American, which is a CW series that's super dope and that's just tearing up TV everywhere. And he's been in so many other films, but I'm gonna give him this opportunity right now just to introduce himself. Kareem, what's up, man? Will you tell the people who you are?
Hey, what's going on, brother James Earl Cray? I am Kareem Grimes, born and raised Inglewood, California. I'm an actor as well as an entrepreneur. And I'm happy to be here, my brother. Thank you for having me.
Man, we appreciate you. So tell us real quick about your entrepreneur ventures. We many of us know you to be an actor. So tell us a little bit about.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the tech space. I have an app out now called FacePop, and it's in iOS only. But FacePop is about 2 years old, and it allows you to create self-made emojis featuring your face. So the avatar, so it's actually your actual face. You're able to take your cell phone, your iPhone, record 7 seconds of well wishes, happy birthdays, talking smack, whatever, I love yous. Send that in a text, and then it comes up in your text thread as a floating head. You press play, and you know, there you have your 7 seconds of what you want to say. And then also too, I partnered up with a good friend of mine, Matthew, and we have two pieces of tech, which is one called virtual co-working, which is going to be the Black Zoom. It's if Zoom and LinkedIn had a baby, it would be VCC. We're rebranding that. And then we also have an app that we're in beta right now called Truso, which will kind of be in the realm of Clubhouse, but a little bit, it gives you a little bit more than just audio. So
gotcha. Yeah. Wow, man, that's super cool. Interesting. I was just reading a book this morning, actually, and just talking over with some of the people on our team for our churches and just talking about what innovation looks like, right?
Yeah.
And I was just reading in this book, and it says everything started out as a fresh new idea, and at some point it got old.
Yeah.
And they were asking me, so like, what's the next step for us with innovation? The first thing I mentioned to them was whatever we do that make regular church going people uncomfortable is innovation, right? And then the second part is just what you mentioned, man. I was telling them that technology is the new wave of innovation. Like, you can absolutely do anything with technology. So, man, that's super cool. Absolutely. And we appreciate you sharing with that. And we'll talk a little bit more about it at the end so people can connect with you on that. So, man, listen, I want to dive into it, man. I know you kind of came into this probably not really knowing what to expect, man. But we're talking about relationships this season from the male perspective, but not just romantic relationships, man. We're going to talk about a broad angle of relationships. And I want to dive right into that today by just asking you this first question. Like, when you hear the term relationship, what's the first thing that comes to mind, or what comes to mind?
I think a commitment to a person or a something that you do. And, you know, it can be, like you said, it's so broad. That relationship can be, you know, your relationship of getting your spirit together. Mm-hmm. You know, a relationship can be getting your physical together, or, you know, a relationship between a man or, and a woman. You know, that's the first thing I think of, just, you know, something of a commitment to something that you love or something that you're trying to accomplish or achieve.
That's good, man. I think that's generally what a lot of us think of, but I think a lot of people just on the surface automatically think romantically, right?
Yeah.
But I appreciate you like expanding it, because something we're going to talk about today is relationship is not just what people, it's what you're committed to.
Yeah. Right?
So we're going to talk about that, but I want to deal with this, man, and maybe get some background from you, for the people that's listening, and for myself. So as I mentioned, we're going to talk about relationships this whole season. What are some special relationships in your life? Like, I'll give an example and kind of make leeway into it. So mine and my mom's relationship is, and then mine and my daughter's, those probably are two of the most special relationships in my life. Obvious reasons, my mom gave birth to me, but that's been my ace. You know, I was raised up single mother. She taught me everything, put my football equipment on backwards the first time I played.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, special relationships like that, man. And then obviously my daughter. So what are some special relationships in your life? And just kind of elaborate on those a little bit for us.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, moms is number one. You know, this is the woman who, you know, like you said, birthed and who really raised me. I had my mom and dad, but they split up. But, you know, the majority of my life was my mom. So, you know, that's definitely my number one. You know, we'll take a bullet, you know, go through a burning house for her. I think the second one will probably be my niece and my nephews.
Okay.
My niece and my nephew. My nephew is 5. I was there when he was born. And then my niece, who is 3, and she is just amazing. So those by far are, my most, like, heavy relationships. Gotcha. And there was a relationship that I was in for a very long time with a young lady. And that I hold that near and dear as well.
Got you. So what would you say is something that these relationships taught you, like a value, an important value that helps you even in career and just in life, that these relationships might have taught you?
Yeah, patience.
That's good.
Communication. And understanding.
Wow.
I think
that's funny, man. We don't understand the importance of understanding in relationships, man. And mom teach you that, romantic relationships teach you that, and definitely children. Yeah. And you said, patience is another one, man. And all those are virtues that are so great when you think about relationships and even going into relationships into your professional arena, which we're going to talk about right here, man. What type of relationships, like, you've been acting for a while, man? How long have you been acting exactly?
Man, we're talking about 30 plus years. I started in 87, 88.
Wow, man. You've been in the game for 30 plus years.
Yeah, so that's probably, a relationship.
That's a relationship, dude.
That's a relationship there.
That's a commitment, man.
That's a commitment,
I'm sure
man.
There's been highs and lows, you know, and you want to talk about what that looks like? Because as you mentioned, man, that is a committed relationship. And I'm sure there's highs and lows. Yeah, just talk about a little bit.
I think, you know, for me, man, it was, you know, there's something that I definitely fell in love with and really committed myself to it. As much as the rejection that you get in this business, you know, I was so committed to, you know, to the process of believing in myself and believing in trusting the process of, hey, as long as you continue to stick with this, as long as you continue to learn and soak up as much information and be a team player and, you know, coachable, you know, this will blossom, and you will definitely get the benefits of it. And, you know, for me, I never took a break, like, literally from 88 to now, I have not taken a break. Like, you know, you usually hear stories of, like, I left it alone for a couple of months or a couple of years, and then I came back.
at it.
James, I've been doing this since 1988 consistently. Wow. I didn't even go to, I was going to go to Tuskegee, but I ended up staying here in Los Angeles and going to school at Cal State LA just so I can continue to pursue my career as an actor. So working in college, taking 12 units, working a job 30 hours, you know what I'm saying, a week, and auditioning and the whole nine, that was my life.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, to this day, man, like literally blessed to be on this show, but just last season, I was working two jobs as well as being and shooting season two of All American. So it's been a constant grind, man, because that's just part of the game. You know what I mean?
So what attracted you to this particular relationship, i.e. acting? So what a, a lot of kids don't grow up, but you from LA area. So maybe that was a thing, but a lot of kids where I'm from don't grow up on to act. They just, it becomes a thing later in life. So what attracted you to acting?
Just as a young man watching TV. You know, watching, Flip Wilson, I'm dating myself, you know, Gary Coleman, Emmanuel Lewis, Richard Pryor, all these people. And then, you know, my mom and dad, or they had friends over, I would, you know, be the kid to say, hey, I'm going to entertain you guys. You know what I'm saying? Go to your room. You know what I mean? Or the kid dancing at the birthday party. I was that kid. So, you know, just wanting to entertain. And from that point on, man, just really kind of getting that bug. And, you know, my mom put me in an acting class, Marla Gibbs, Angela Gibbs and Marla Gibbs from 227. They had an acting class in the Crenshaw area. Got in it and really, really like took a love and got the bug.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I was like, yep, this is it. This is what I want to do. I like literally, James, I didn't see myself doing anything else as a as young, knowing like I want to be an actor. I didn't say I want to be a businessman, I want to do a doctor. I was like, I want to be an actor.
Yeah. Wow.
Period. You know, man. And from that point on, man, that was it.
So you committed to this thing at an early age.
Yeah. Wow. I definitely committed to it at an early age, and it made a lot of sacrifices, you know. Wow. As far as, you know, just being in acting class as much as possible. You know, taking voice in stage combat, you know, and modern dancing, like literally really taking everything that comes with this business and taking it at an early age and really going into it, man. You know, and it's you know, it's definitely paid off. I tell people, as long as I've been acting, probably within the past 2 to 3 years, James, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface.
Wow. Man, everything you describe, man, I'm sitting here envisioning, like, I'm thinking, like, it's exactly what we describe in romantic relationships, man. You said there's rejection that comes along, but if you stick it out, there's benefit. Like, that's romantic. Yep. That's what people look for. Yep. And you talked about the long-term commitment and then all the things you had to put into it. That's like, if you get married, that's like premarital counseling and prep counseling and marital counseling, all the dance classes you took, the voice classes, the stage combat, all those things, man. And then just even thinking about the people you just mentioned along the way. So that kind of leads me into the next question. Who are some people or some special relationships you built and established along the way? I just heard you mention, you know, the two ladies from 227. And
Marla Gibbs kind of, and her daughter, Angela. Yeah, they were the foundation. You know, they were the ladies who, you know, that introduced me to the craft of it. You know, so, you know, for them, I owe a lot to them. And then my mom for putting me in the class and, you know, keeping me in those classes.
Right.
You know, so I didn't really have, you know, I don't have a story of, oh, you know, I grew up around gangs and I grew up around gangs, but I didn't have that time to roam the streets because I was constantly in acting class or dance class or playing some type of sport. So I really didn't have time to, you know, get outside and commit havoc.
Well, listen, that speaks measures to your acting ability, because on All-American, I would say you've been around a lot of games, man. I'm talking you played a character so well. So, man, that speaks measures to your ability, man. So keep doing that, brother, because if you say you weren't around that activity, man, when I look at you on there, I'm like, this brother He acting as if this was his lifestyle. So man, that's super dope, man.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, as an actor, you know, you definitely, I've seen those guys. Those guys definitely looked out for me,
right,
to keep me out of trouble. So those individuals that, you know, interceded in my life to keep me out of that,
yeah,
is who Preach is.
Got you.
And that's kind of like my ode to them. Wow. For keeping me out the streets.
Wow, that's super dope, man. And I think that's another relationship that we don't talk about a lot because of the dynamic of it, right? But I'm the same way, man. I came from an area where the guys in the hood, they saw something in you and they refused to let you go the path they go. And those relationships, man, to this day that I lean on, like honestly, one of my mentors was in prison for 27 years for drugs, but just him seeing something in me that nobody else saw or that nobody else could speak to. And like you said, just looking out for you. And now you can pay them back by what you do on screen, man. So that's an incredible relationship. How would you define your relationship with work at this stage? Because you just said something that really caught me. Because right now, man, I'm kind of scratching the surface. I got a passion and desire to do film and stuff like that. I've been doing a lot of stuff, you know, in a faith-based arena. But you said 30 years. And now just the last couple of years, you feel like you're just now scratching the surface. So how do you define that relationship with work?
That's a good question. Just for me, man, I think never giving up.
Wow.
It can be so easy to just give up.
Yeah.
If it's not going your way. Absolutely. You know, if the communication isn't working, or if you're not getting this out the relationship, or you're not getting that out the relationship. It's so easy to give up.
Yeah.
But I think for me, God has definitely shown me, hey, this is something that I want you to get because of the victories in this. You know, we celebrate those victories, whether they be small or big, but I think that was confirmation for me that I'm supposed to be here.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And being appreciative and being and treating everybody with respect, because we've all heard these stories of these actors and how they treat people. And, you know, for me, it's always been about treating people with the respect, you know, and really loving what I do. Like James, I love what I do. Whether it's 10, 13, 16 hour days, I love what I do. And then, you know, they say once you find your passion, once you find something you love, it's no longer considered work for you. And it's not. Right.
Wow.
You know, so that for me and how I define the relationship is, you know, never giving up.
Wow.
No matter what, working through it, working through the rejection, taking that rejection and letting it fuel me to say, hey, that's just one closed door.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? There's going to be another door that I can knock on. And then I just got to make sure that I'm prepared on my end.
Right.
You know, but really, you know, never giving up, man. No matter how bad it gets, never giving up and really seeing, you know, the silver lining and the lesson in it. What's the lesson? What can I learn from this? You know, and using that into the next step of whether it's an audition, you know, or whatever it is, and taking that and using that to fuel me and get me through.
Man, that's good. I hope our audience really just chimed in and turned up their radios or whatever device they're on to hear that part.
Yeah.
That he defines his relationship with work as not giving up. And that's dream included, that's aspirations. And the key you said, man, that really speaks measures to me. I'm a pastor, so preaching is my absolute passion, man. I do it in my sleep. I wake up doing it. It's what I love, and it's not work. Does it get stressful? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Does it ever feel like work? It doesn't, man. And what Kareem is saying to us for all the listeners is that when you find something you're passionate about, it'll press you through the rejection. It'll keep you connected when one door closed and you're waiting on the next opportunity. So that's super incredible for us to remember and for all of our listeners to take that with you. When you establish passion, don't give up on it. Just keep pressing forward with it. So that's really good, man. I want to dive into this part real quick. It's like four parts, so we're going to hit each part of it. So toxic is a trendy word in today's society, right? I mean, everywhere you look, people talk about toxic relationships. So, man, I want your thoughts. I'm gonna hit four different areas of relationships, and I want you to kind of describe what toxic relationships look like or how people can be aware of toxic relationships. First, we're going to talk romantically. You mentioned mm-hmm. you have been in a long-term mm-hmm. relationship and then it's mm-hmm. still dear to your heart. So how can our listeners identify from a male's perspective a toxic romantic relationship?
It can be set from, you know, words mm. or actions.
Actions.
The actions of, you know, you either stepping out or you, you know, lying or not being, you know, or not communicating. That's toxic.
Right.
You know, and those areas are very important in a relationship. Mm-hmm. If it continues, if that behavior continues, that's very toxic, you know, and that can definitely taint the relationship. You know, not being supportive is toxic. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
If somebody or your partner is pursuing something and you're not behind them 100%, or you're constantly saying, you know what, maybe you should do something else, or, you know, I don't think you're good at this. You know what I'm saying? That's toxic, you know, because you're speaking into their life negative.
Yeah.
You know, negativity. And that's definitely not healthy. That's right. Toxic, you right. know? But yeah, those are things that, you know, that are toxic. You know, you right. not communicating effectively, you know, is very toxic, because women or men can't read your mind. So if you're not expressing yourself in a way that, you know, say, hey, this is how I'm feeling, or this is what I want, or this, and you're not saying that, that's toxic. You know, once again, like I said, if you're repeating this behavior, that's a toxic, that makes the relationship toxic.
That's good, man. So what yeah. about platonically? When you think about friends, man, it's a slightly different dynamic versus romantic relationships.
Yeah, so friends.
How do you identify toxic platonic
relationships? Somebody posted an Instagram, and it's things like, oh, hey, James, I heard you got your little podcast going on, man. That's cool. Gotcha. Why is it got to be little? You know what I'm saying? Nothing's little.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's the words that we say, or, you know, if it's always about that person and it's not about, hey, man, congratulations, you know, but, you know, listen, I tried doing this, man, and it didn't work. So I don't know how it's going to be for you. Yeah. It may not work for you, but you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean it's not going to work for me. You know what I'm saying? So it's what we say. It's what we say and how we support, because you may have a total stranger support you before your family or your friends, and they don't even know you.
Absolutely, man.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Those are toxic things. But when people, especially friends, say, hey, you know, I heard you got your little such and such going on, or your little this, why are you belittling what my dream is? I'm looking at it as big.
Right.
But you want to go on and put that label of little on there, and they're doing it unconsciously. That's toxic.
Wow. Wow. That's good, man. I've heard those things. Like, and for me, especially with the podcast, the step was big. Just, you know, just the first podcast recording, Absolutely. It was big. So people would belittle that, man. So that's really good. Yeah. This is a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can speak in depth about this one. How do we identify toxic professional relationship?
Yeah, I think by by action.
Okay.
You know, if by action and words.
Okay.
You know, if you're a team player, like for me, you know, if I'm saying, hey, you know, let's go over this scene right. before we shoot, because I want both of us. You know, doing a scene with somebody is like a dance.
Okay.
So wow. if you're not practicing, when you get on that dance floor, you stepping on toes and the whole nine and that, right. you know what I mean? So I think when two people are not in agreement of saying, hey, let's work on this, you know, so we can perfect this, okay. you know, I think that can be toxic. Now, in my profession, there are some actors that don't want to rehearse. They rather, you know, You know your part. When we get on set, we go.
Wow.
You know, but for me, you know, I'm coming from the old school to where it's like, hey, let's just at least run it
right.
so we'll have some comfort. you know, some comfort with it, some comfort with the line. So, you know, we'll be able to go. And then workspace is just, you know, it's the same thing. You know, if there's, you know, whether it can be the first thing in the morning, like, hey, how you doing? And how's your morning going? And they not saying nothing. That kind of sets the tone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, hey, I'm greeting you. Yeah. You know, hey, how are you? How's your day going? And you, I'm not a morning person. Like, that's toxic.
Right.
You saying that within itself, saying you're not a morning person, but you know you got to get up every morning and go to work.
And go to work.
So you, something's got to change.
Right.
Either you don't want to work in the morning, you just rather work nights, then do that.
Right.
Find you a night job. You know what I'm saying? But it's those little things, because at the end of the day, if we're working in the same office or in the same space, there has to be some type of, you know, respect, and also, you know, being able to greet and what's the word I'm looking for? Just to be able to function.
Yeah.
Together. In the same space.
Coexist. Absolutely.
Coexist. Exactly. Yeah.
That's funny, yeah. Man, because you would think that, as you mentioned, after a while, that whole I'm not a morning person, after you've been working for years in the morning,
when people say that, I'm like, well, have you ever thought about, you know, working at night, graveyard thing, if you're not a morning person?
Exactly. Like, pick up a third shift somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a great point for us to be able to identify toxic behaviors in people.
Because yes.
I don't necessarily want to call people toxic, because I know a lot of people do, but I think the behaviors are toxic. And I think you can identify those with just, you said it in each one of the scenarios, romantically, platonically, and professionally. Mm-hmm. You said the two things. You said words and action, right?
Yeah, words and action.
I think you can identify that any level of relationship, you know, the toxic behaviors, if you just pay attention to words and to actions.
And actions,
which a lot of times we don't do. You know, I know I'm guilty in some scenarios with just like that same type scenario when somebody walk by and I speak, because I am a morning person, and they don't speak. There's been times I just overlook it and just be like, all right, well, you know, they having a moment. Maybe they'll be, and then you try it on Tuesday, it's the same thing, and on Wednesday, and after a while, you start to learn. But I think those are red flags that we can use to identify this whole new trendy term of toxic behavior and relationships. Yeah. So we appreciate you sharing that with us, man. And as we get ready to wrap up, what advice? So you're in a field where I'm learning networking, building relationships, establishing. And I think the biggest thing is retention in relationships is so important. What advice would you give to a person like myself that's wanting to crack into the industry you're in, and other young people that'll be watching, and other dreamers and visionaries and entrepreneurs that are listening to us? What advice would you give to those of us that are trying to crack into this whole field with how to build and establish and retain these networking relationships?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely dream big. You know, write down your goals. I'm a big dreamer, James. I'm a big dreamer. I visualize, and it's very specific.
That's good.
You know, I had a moment where something that I visualized for years happened, and that's me driving in the car that I wanted.
Yeah,
on a nice sunny day, driving to the studio to go to work.
Wow.
You know, like stuff like that. And it would be moments where I would, you know, I've worked side jobs since the beginning of time.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, always believe in having a side hustle. And those days that I didn't want to go to that side job, those are the things that I visualized to get me through that day.
Wow.
And I'll share a brief story right quick. So the showrunner, which is the boss of the TV show, the main writer runs the show, is a lady by the name of Nkeche Okoro. So I met her 10, 15 years ago when I did a show called Bones. It was her first script that she wrote for TV.
Wow.
Okay. So we met, did the job, amazing, established a relationship. It was 10 years prior to that, I did a show called The Shield. Now, I auditioned for that show 17 times.
17 times.
I auditioned for the show 17 times. Jeez. Within those 17 times, I booked, but then they said, oh, we're going a different route, or we wrote the character out, you know, but 17 times, but they kept calling me back. So after the 17th time, James, I end up doing 3 seasons on that show.
Okay.
And I met a young brother by the name of Jamie Turner, mm-hmm. who's a storyboard editor. Fast forward, I get the call for All American. The showrunner is Nkechi Okoro.
Wow.
The sister who I met on Bones.
Right.
The other writer on that show is Jamie Turner, the brother I met 10 years prior to meeting NK mm-hmm. on The Shield.
Wow.
So as they were getting and creating this character Preach, they both had me in mind, but they didn't tell each other. They was like, yo, I know a guy who would probably, you know, kill his role. Oh, I know a guy too. No, I know my guy, he's good. Yeah, my guy, he's good too. Well, who's your guy? Kareem Grimes. Wow. Oh, that's who I was thinking about. Now, I say that to say 2 different people met 10 to 20 years prior.
Right.
Here we are today. My character is probably one of the, you know, or of one of the fan favorites.
Right.
My character was only supposed to do 1 or 2 episodes.
Really, man?
And here we are going on 16, 17 episodes now.
Wow.
So I say that to say the relationship that I had with NK, the relationship that I had with Jamie Turner. If I was a jackass or some guy who just didn't show up, who didn't do the work, who wasn't on time, you think that I would be on All American? Nah.
Or somebody who pouted over the 17.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
The 17 times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I say that and I tie that into relationships.
Right.
How you treat people, how you show up to work. Mm. You know, the person that you're going to school with, and this is for the young kids, the person that you're going to school with, you treat everybody with respect because you never know within the next 5, 10, 15 years where that person's going to be.
Wow.
You may have to go for a job interview and this person that you either bullied or talked about, they're going to remember that. And they'll be like, right. I don't want to hire this person. So for me, relationships are very important. And how you treat people, how you show up to jobs, how you just in general go through life.
Right.
You know, you treat everybody with respect, period. You know, no matter if they're on below the line or above the line,
yeah.
You know, whether they're the janitor, the PA or whatever it is, because that person has dreams and aspirations and you never know where that person's going to be 5, 10, 15, 20 wow. years from now.
That's
so you
good,
treat
man.
Everybody with respect. So, you know, with that being said, I definitely believe in relationships and cultivating and just, you know, making sure that, hey, whoever that you're interacting with, it's a mutual, you know, it's a mutual thing. You respect and, you know, you speak into and feed into that person, period. You know, because you just never know where that person is. But I say that to say, because of those 2 people, you know, it's very, as far as where I'm at career-wise on this show, I owe it to those 2 people, wow. NK and Jamie Turner.
Man, that's super dope, man. I appreciate that story. So what's next yeah. for you, man? That's more of a personal.
Yeah.
Thing. What's next?
Yeah. We're still shooting season 3 of All American. Okay. We got a renewal for season 4.
Wow.
So God is good. So you know, we're still shooting. Like I said, shooting season 3, and we'll get ready for season 4. My character storyline is literally gonna go up. And
really
super excited. Cannot
That's my
wait
show, man. You got me hyped
yeah.
now.
yeah, I can't wait for you guys to see, you know, what they do with Preach.
Yeah.
It's gonna be amazing. And then I also have a show called For the Love of Jason, which okay. is on All Black. It's UMC, but it's now All
yeah,
Black.
Gotcha.
So we just got a second season, so we're gonna be shooting that in November. And just super excited, man. And, you know, those are the 2 shows that I'm, you know, focused on right now. And like I said, in the tech space. So that's what's going on with Kareem Grimes.
Man, that's super cool, man. Listen, we appreciate you, man. I got to go follow you on Instagram. And
yeah,
so if you'll absolutely. Give us your Instagram information yeah. and tell us where we can find you at and how we can check into the apps.
Absolutely. So Kareem Grimes on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook. And that's Kareem Grimes, K-A-R-E-E-M-G-R-I-M-E-S across all social media platforms. Awesome. And FacePop is on iOS only, and that's F-A-C-E-P-O-P, all one word. And then we have VCC, Virtual Coworking, which is on Android and iOS. And then pretty soon, and within the next couple of months, we'll be launching Truso. So be on the lookout for that. And that'll definitely be on iOS and Android.
Man, listen, keep doing your thing, man. It's an inspiration to see brothers. The commitment to the game, man, is such an inspiration. If nobody knew, they'll just see your character on All-American and not know 30 years in the game, man. Yeah, that's commitment. That's relationship. Absolutely. And man, we appreciate you. I appreciate you being a part of this podcast, man. And just look forward to just continue to build a relationship with you, man. And hopefully get an opportunity to sit down and chit chat.
Yeah.
As I'm out here in California, far away from Georgia, my brother.
There it is.
Listen, I appreciate you, man. Listen, everybody, thank y'all so much for being with us today. Thank you, Kareem Grimes, again. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Tell somebody about it. Share this episode. And make sure you give us a review. And always remember, no matter what happens, it's always, always a great day to be great. I love y'all. Peace.